Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, it's Gabe time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Feels good to be back. How about it? Hope everybody has been well since I have been away, but it's Wednesday, April 24, 2024. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I'm your host. Gabe Kuhn. Hope you remember me. I've been gone a while. Guess you wonder where. Do you think people are wondering where I've been, Connor? Do you think that is the case?
Maybe.
Okay, but I'm
any excuse we have to play Bobby Caldwell, we got to use it.
If you don't remember me, I'm Gabe Kuhn, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside Connor Dunning, executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show at C Dunning 929. Connor, how have you been without me?
I've been great.
Good to hear. Thanks to Sparky for filling in.
Shout out Sparky Pfeiffer.
Yeah, what a guy.
Tough loss for his Bucks last night.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't know if I have a lot of hope in them heading forward. But do you think people wonder where I was?
Maybe.
Wasn't a family emergency, nothing like that.
Nah.
Vacation. Hardcore vacation.
We do get them.
You heard of the ABC Islands in the Caribbean, right?
No.
You have Aruba, Bel Air, or Bonaire. Bonaire, that's what it is. And then Curacao. I was at the sea. Curacao, about 40 miles, 50 miles off the coast of Venezuela.
A man of the sea.
Yeah, I got away. I got away. I feel revitalized. I have more juice. Got the, it was therapeutic. The sand between the toes, you know how they what they say about that. Had a couple of Miami Vices along the way, something like that. A few margaritas.
Wait,
that was nice.
Gabe, did you say sand?
Yeah, sand. What? Oh, okay, all right. Well, I enjoyed myself though. I enjoyed myself. And you, when I went to St. Lucia for my honeymoon, you said I didn't get a lot of sun. Looked like I'm a little sun-kissed.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said I'm a little sun-kissed now, right?
Listen, I'm a very pale man. I highly doubt I criticize.
I got my base burn. While I was in Curacao, that sun's different, brother.
It is.
That sun's different right there off the coast of South America. I got to say. But Curacao, interesting. You know, it's the Dutch Caribbean, so it's like almost a Dutch colony.
I did not know this. You said it was full of Dutch people.
Yes, and it was one of the few trips I've been on in my life where I felt truly dumb talking to people that are from there. Because, like, the bartender from Curacao that was serving us about all week knows seven languages. He can speak five fluently.
And you can speak how many?
One.
Nice.
One. And I mean, Spanish. I studied Spanish in high school and college, but I can't speak it. I can understand it a little bit.
Can he talk NFL draft, though?
I can do that. I'm fluent in NFL draft, Tiger basketball, Tiger football, NBA. I'm fluent there. But when it comes to, like, languages of the world, Not me. Not for me. But that was a good time, man. You've done well. How is life treating you?
I'm doing great. Every single piece of news decided to drop once you...
Yeah,
with you gone, as it always happens.
You know, the timing of the vacation was pretty nice, though. Come back for the NFL draft. We're about 26 and a half hours away from the NFL draft. That's nice. We have some Tiger basketball recruiting to talk about. We have a new AD that's going to have to be hired with Laird Veach off to Mizzou. We have a FedEx NIL situation. And I know that before I left, I talked about that football program operating on a different level. That definitely proves that. We'll talk about that in overreaction, not an overreaction. But on top of that, as far as guests are concerned, we're going to be loaded today. 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and Jeff Calkins Show. We have a lot to catch up on with Jeff. 5:30, we'll have our Showboats guest of the week. That'll be Lamont McFadder. He's a DB for the Showboats. I know they're at 1-3. They had a tough loss against the St. Louis Battlehawks last time out. Although, by the way, the Battlehawks fill out the dome, man. That's got to be the most valuable franchise they have in the UFL right now.
They seem to be having a successful season.
Well, yes, and the fact they just fill it out. Like, I'm from the city of St. Louis. I know how big of a football town it is with the Rams previously, but for them to really rally around, get 25 to 35,000 people in that stadium every single weekend, they have a home game for UFL games, that shows you all you need to know about their hunger for football. And I know that, you know, we have the Showboats here, but St. Louis, they are doing it big with the UFL. But we'll talk to Lamont McFadder from the Showboats at 5:30. And then 6 o'clock, can't wait to discuss some NFL draft and some Titans with the radio voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. That will be at 6 o'clock. And he's new to social media. Last time I talked to him, I don't think he had any social media.
He did not. He's new to it.
He stayed away, but I'll be able to drop his X account. And he says he's got an Instagram, too. He says he's loving Instagram. Almost likes it a little bit more than X, which I can't blame him. X is inundated with...
X is a cesspool now.
Yes, and like every time I post any... like the I know that we're getting to the weeds here. The porn bots are out, and they will not go away, Connor. They're everywhere.
Every single show tweet we send out. We have someone
that's
like...
I have to hide the replies. I hide the replies constantly.
Nudes in bio. Okay, well, show link in bio.
There's an extra step now when I post a show out there on X. I have to go hide the replies of what people are telling you to go click on in their profile.
It has turned into that in a website full of people who hate the thing you like.
Exactly.
It is why I used to be a daily poster on it, but now I don't do it much anymore because anything you put out there, someone that dislikes the thing that you like is going to be like, nah, you suck. This sucks.
We just own each other.
You should hate yourself.
All we want to do is own each other these days.
Like, why can't we just like things?
Well, I don't
like, but hey, man, this movie was all right. Not sucked. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
And this it goes with what you say, like with movies in general. It's like certain things are in your lane, certain things are out of your lane.
Yeah.
Like, just let people enjoy what they want
to enjoy.
Or, like,
this player's pretty good. Well, he's not Jordan, so he sucks. It's like, well.
All right. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Doesn't seem fair. But also on the show, we'll get into the Blitz at about 6:30. And I'm going to go hardcore with the NFL draft. I think the biggest question heading into tomorrow night's first round is top four picks. You could wonder about what the Cardinals are going to do at 4 with their pick. Are they going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.? Are they going to trade out? Their GM has sort of gone back and forth on that, even though he is taking calls. That's Monty Ossenfort, their new GM. But I think at number 5, that's sort of the most interesting spot with the Chargers right there. There's a bet out there, or a odds that keep going up. Started at 100 to 1 for the Chargers to pick a quarterback with their first draft pick. And we know that the Chargers have Justin Herbert. 5 years, $262.5 million worth of Justin Herbert, to be exact. The opening line was 100 to 1. As of today, Connor, 6 to 1 for them to go take a quarterback with their first draft pick. Now, do I think that'll happen? I'll tell you that when we get to the Blitz, but that is substantial. And I'd imagine it's being boosted up by the fact that J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh have that great relationship. But that would just seem to be absolutely ridiculous. And also, Peter Schrager from NFL Network says he thinks there's going to be a bunch of trades tomorrow. I'll tell you if I think there's going to be that many. I think we set the record in 2022 with 9, and he says he thinks there'll be 10. So will they set the record this year? I will answer that question as we get to about 6:30 with the Blitz. But we open every single Wednesday. I know it's my first day back, and there's plenty to talk about, but we need to get to overreaction, not an overreaction.
Now, it's overreaction or not an overreaction.
We are to Wild and Crazy Guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe, while you were gone, yep. FedEx pledged $5 million per year with the donor match up to $2.5 million over a five-year period for the Memphis Football NIL Collective while you were out of town. We know that the Smiths always come to the rescue. This will revolutionize the way this program is run and perceived heading into the future. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction in the slightest. Everyone has to play catch-up now in the group of five. Now, I know there's been some rumors about the group of five breaking off and playing their own playoff, that type of thing. But this type of money put toward a program for an NIL collective in the group of five is revolutionary. It has not been done. And to have that corporate sponsor like that in the city, one of the few corporate sponsors we have in the city, to pony up that much money for talent acquisition is unreal. And I cannot, like, you can't overstate it. I mean, we talked about it a few years back when SMU pledged, what was it, I think $30,000 to $36,000 per scholarship player. This is different, though. You can obviously work through another NIL collective, but $5 to $7.5 million a year for talent acquisition to go grab the next quarterback after Seth Hennigan, to go grab more offensive linemen, to go grab safeties, corner, whatever the hell you want to go get. This is substantially different than anything else we have seen in college football to date, especially for a team that's in the American Athletic Conference. It puts them at the top, at the precipice, at the peak of what a program is supposed to look like in the group of five. And I think it really does show the effort they are continuing to make with the stadium renovations, with where they're at right now and potentially getting into the playoff next year. You know, I mean, even as the athletic department in general, like basketball doing good job recruiting, I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. It just shows a continued commitment to try to elevate this athletic department status within college athletics at large. This is a whole lot of money. This rivals a lot of the teams in the middle tiers of the SEC and the Big Ten and the money they're putting out through their NIL collectives. I cannot state enough, and I know people were calling me a homer, and I had heard like murmurs about this, and I obviously could not put that stuff out there because it was not official yet, and FedEx had to put out their official statement. But I got some, yo, you're a homer, talking about, oh, that football program. You go over to that facility, and they are running it at a different level. They are looking like a Power 5 team, like a team in a Power 5 conference. This shows the continued commitment to get there, and I hope it shows the people out there who tried to call me a homer, put me in that box, that it was the truth when I was saying it. It's very obvious what's happening here. It's very obvious that football is starting to take hold, and we're starting to put more money toward it. We know historically this school, University of Memphis, is a basketball school. A lot of the resources get tailored straight to that basketball program. But to see that start to even out, to see the football team put themselves in a different tier, I think it's phenomenal. It shows to me, too, and I know I'm going to get a little bit corny here, but it shows laying the groundwork through 2013, 2014, 2015, 2016, how far this program had to come. And the guys that came before, the Tony Pollards, the Riley Fergusons, the Paxton Lynch, the Mose Frazers, the Terry Reddins, all these guys from the past, what they were able to accomplish has led to this point. And that I take a lot of pride in that. But it's phenomenal to see. And I was honestly sad that it dropped as soon as I went out of town because I knew I was going to have to talk about it and people wanted to hear my thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I think from a micro level, it's certainly going to help recruiting. It's going to help the Tigers win on the football field, this, that, and the other thing. I do think that it probably shows a trust within Ryan Silverfield and what he is doing with the football program. But from a macro level, it shows that the University of Memphis is ready for the jump to a major conference and that they are primed to do it. You look at the facilities that they are getting, you look at the NIL money now, and the success on the field. Those are three pretty big things to bring to the table when you want to have discussions about joining a major conference whenever another spot opens up. It just seems like Memphis is the no-brainer for a major conference if they're looking to add somebody.
Yeah, and I'll say this too, with Laird Veach now off to Mizzou, which was something we talked about when Desiree Reed-Francois
it's been rumored
stepped
for
away.
A bit. Yeah.
It was something we thought could happen. We didn't know if it was going to be the reality. But with that sort of being the case now, I would imagine something like this and the continued growth of everything within this athletic department, it should be easy to go find a good candidate, a great candidate, to go replace Laird Veach with. They see these things, and they'll be ready to jump at this opportunity, no doubt.
I think that Laird Veach deserves a ton of credit for the job that he did at the University of Memphis. From 2019 to where it is now, he really helped pave the way for continued success and for future success for this program. So I wish him the best moving forward. And to your point, I think where the University of Memphis has gotten in all athletics makes this job very attractive for anybody that may want to come to it. So I'm excited to see who they could get, because moving forward, it seems like University of Memphis is primed for some big things.
Yeah, but $7.5 million. And obviously they're going to have to do the $2.5 million to half a 50% match every single year. But Laird Veach, before he left, said he thinks that's very possible with the donors and the hunger they have for football success. And I think this year, if they reach the heights that we think are possible, it'll be very easy to get to that $2.5 million, and they may exceed it, and they may have $8 million, $9 million to spend going into the next couple of years for this football program. Obviously, I want to see it trickle down to, you know, all the other sports. I want to see it get to women's basketball. I want to see women's soccer. I want to see everybody get paid. But to start with the football program, the money-making institution, the money-making program on every single college campus in D1, for them to be able to get this type of money up front to go pay players with, to go get the best talent, to keep up a level of success, you have to just tip the cap to Ryan Silverfield, to everybody behind the scenes, to the Smiths for making it happen. And I we're talking about the Smiths, $50 million worth of funds thrown at the stadium project to help ease that pain and all of the heartache we were going through at that moment. And now this, they're always there to save the day. Like, I don't know if you're a sports fan in this city. If you work for FedEx and you've had a bad relationship with FedEx over the years, I don't think many Memphians have that. But if you're a sports fan in this city and you look at the work that FedEx and the money that FedEx has thrown at all of our sports institutions, you have no choice but to absolutely love on them and give them all the credit in the world for where we're at right now.
We all got to go order packages.
I promise you, man.
Start shipping stuff just to each other. I'm just going to start shipping stuff from my house to the station, from the station back to my house.
I mean, you have to love on them and give them all the respect in the world, because it's absolutely phenomenal what they've done for the city and what they've done for our sports team.
Did you see the video? I was really excited because when it got announced, Rock Taylor was in the video. So yep. I was like, oh, sweet. Rock Taylor's going to be here next year. I was like, confirmation. Like, we didn't have any fear, really, that he was going to jump into the portal. But it made me feel good that my guy's going to be back.
The commercial, that was a nice little commercial.
It was a nice little commercial.
I liked it. FedEx, good marketing.
Some class.
Good marketing. Classy marketing.
Moving on. Huge national college football story today. Pete Thamel, ESPN college football reporter, was first to it. Reggie Bush is getting his 2005 Heisman Trophy back, ESPN has learned, with the formal reinstatement of the trophy coming today. The decision comes amid what the Heisman Trust calls enormous changes in the college football landscape. This shows a clear change in approach from the powers that be in college football. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
All right, I'm going to say that to that statement, this shows a clear change in approach from the powers that be in college football. I'm going to say overreaction. I think it shows a clear change in heart from the Heisman Trust. And it took too long, quite frankly. 2021, you should have made the change. Because everything that Reggie Bush did, taking money from USC to help his family out, taking money in, using his name, image, and likeness, that's all above board. This should have happened in 2021 as soon as we switch this over. So it's a clear change in thought from the Heisman Trust. And that's something. But I don't think it shows a change in heart from the NCAA and the powers that be in college athletics ultimately. I still think there are people behind the scenes that wanted to go back to the way it was, that want to limit a lot of the things that we're seeing today. And maybe some of these things, the transfer portal, everything else, maybe we should at some point be able to make those limited. I think that would involve everybody in employer-employee contracts. That's how you'd have to do it. You can't violate antitrust laws, that type of thing. But I don't think this changes. It's a full change in approach from everybody in college athletics. But the Heisman Trust finally made the right decision. And I do want to say, how much do you think Johnny Manziel saying he was going to boycott going to the Heisman ceremony and participating in any Heisman activities until Reggie Bush got his Heisman back, how much do you think that actually played into it? I think a fair amount. Because you really could draw a straight line from him saying that a few weeks back to Reggie Bush finally getting it right now.
I think Johnny Manziel deserves a ton of credit. I've very much been enjoying the podcast tour and the interviews that he's been doing recently because it just seems like he is so introspective now and he has really learned from his past and he is openly talking about it. One of the big things that he's been beating the drum about was making sure Reggie Bush got his Heisman Trophy back. Because I do think that when you look at the landscape of college athletics and college football now, it's completely silly that Reggie Bush doesn't have it. I mean, where does he rank all time in college football players? And he doesn't have his Heisman Trophy. It makes the sport look ridiculous when you're, you know, when, for instance, a USC player last year got a penthouse as part of his deal to come to USC, but Reggie Bush can't have his Heisman Trophy. Get out of here.
Yeah, and know what this did. And I never considered, like, Reggie Bush was always a Heisman to me. I didn't give
without
a damn.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But this puts USC at the top. I mean, they have the most Heisman winners in for any school in the history of college football. They have 8. I think Ohio State has 7, and then you keep going down the list. So this put USC up over the top. And what really bothered me about this whole thing is 2021, the game changed. It allowed things that should have been apparent all along. Guys who were breaking the bank for the NCAA and college football in general were not making their due. And Reggie Bush still went and tried to make his due, regardless of what the rules said. And then they changed in 2021. It should have been apparent. But the thing that really bothers me about them taking it away from him this entire time is all those impermissible benefits, and I'm going to put those in quotations, all those impermissible benefits did nothing for what he actually did on the field. He didn't need those benefits to go in 2005 and win the Heisman and have 2,900 all-purpose yards. Those impermissible benefits did not affect his play on the field. He was that damn good. He was a...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Electrifying. I mean, the amount of eyeballs. He was must-see TV forever when he was at USC. Punt returns, kick returns, in the backfield, catching it out of the backfield, making guys miss. Watching those USC teams back in the day with all of that great talent, the Matt Leinarts of the world, was it Brian Cushing, Clay Matthews, Ray Malaluga. It just bothers me that it was so short-sighted in the fact, oh, he got impermissible benefits, so we're taking away what he did on the field. That makes no sense. There's no real connection there. That was always the dumbest part of this whole thing. Now, what he did at the time was illegal, but it shouldn't have been illegal. We should have moved past that. We should have moved in this direction a long, long time ago. We did in 2021. Heisman Trust finally put it back into his court. Now, I will say this. Heisman Trust and the Heisman House commercials, they have a lot of material. They can do with those commercials, right?
They should lean into it.
Yeah. Is it Nissan?
Nissan sounds right. Yeah. They need to lean into it, though. It needs to be like
100%.
He's finally here or something like that. 100%. Or I got lost on the way.
I heard GPS Pete Thamel talk about this. Like, throw the Stone Cold music on and have him walk into the house for a Heisman House commercial. That would be phenomenal. I'd love to see that. But it took too long, Connor.
It definitely did.
For a player of his caliber, what he did, how long we've been discussing this, for it to take till 2024 still will rub me the wrong way.
It's just always been a ridiculous asterisk when we have to talk about Reggie Bush, because at the end of the day, I do think he has not talked about it enough with how much influence he had. I mean, in college football, I mean, I was growing up playing football at the time that he was in college, 2004, 2005, 2006, like around that era, everybody wanted to be like Reggie Bush. Everybody was trying to run like Reggie Bush. I was a running back in peewee football, and I damn near, every single time I caught that football, you better believe, I was thinking I was Reggie Bush. Do you remember using him, by the way?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
In NCAA 06?
Yeah.
It became outlawed across the country. Nobody could use
it was like
USC.
It was like Mike Vick and Madden 06 or whatever it was.
If you just did a halfback toss, touchdown. Every yes. single time.
Yeah, and like he was the type, like the running back, it was like in this day and age, you don't see a lot of guys that can just run circles around other college football teams, whether it was Fresno State or whatever. Like you would wait for him to break off a 75-yard run, but he'd cover 800 yards doing it because he'd cut back four times, make four guys miss on the way to the end zone for a 75-yard touchdown.
And just kind of for fun.
Yes, and it just looked so easy to him at those moments. But it was good to see that because it did help us all sort of reminisce on his time in college football. And I don't think we remembered enough. I don't think we sort of take the time to appreciate, because, I mean, he had what? 784. I mean, we have a lot of Heisman voters. He had the fifth most first place Heisman votes in the history of Heisman voting. He was a very obvious Heisman winner, and he's got it. He's got it back now.
I mean, in terms of all time rank, where do you think he is for college football? He's got to be like
from
10
from
at least
from being electrifying, like from being that play, like. I have to watch this guy play because I know he's going to do something that's just going to amaze me, that's going to just jump off the screen. I think he's won in my lifetime.
I won't argue that.
Like, I can't really think of anyone who's his peer in
Maybe
the electrifying
Cam?
Category. Eh, it's a different type of
It was different because Cam was so damn big.
Yes. And Reggie Bush was just so shaky. He made everybody miss. He could cut back across the field and just run for 75 yards untouched.
If they have classic I am, by the way, I
and
am
he, and the other thing about Reggie Bush is he did everything. He was a punt returner, kick returner, running back. You could split him out
really
as a wide receiver.
Really
like,
good.
He did everything for those USC teams. And those were talented USC teams, mind you.
I mean, he
shared a backfield 1 year with Lindell White. And that was another first-round pick. You know, it was not like to get the amount of touches, to get 2,900 all-purpose yards sharing a backfield with Lindale White. Come on, man.
Those teams were unbelievable.
They were fun to watch.
You better put that. I am praying that they are on the new game.
Yeah.
If you do classic teams, you have to put them on.
Have we gotten a confirmation on that? I don't think that
don't
there's going to be
have.
Classic teams on this
Boo.
New one. But I think moving into the future, that should be.
I'm just happy to have it.
First order of business, right?
That is true.
Moving in the future, let's get these classic teams.
I cannot wait for our league to start. We're going to talk so much mess on air to each other.
Yeah. Was it July 15th? I think that's the date, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
We will see what happens. But shout out, finally, the Heisman Trust made the right decision. And Reggie Bush has his Heisman reinstated. It puts USC atop all alone as a school. They have the most Heisman winners in the history of college football with 8 in Ohio State. Now in second with 7. They broke the tie, finally, by reinstating the Heisman. Let's go ahead and grab our first break of the day. When we come back, have to do a little bit more catch-up, as I did miss, while I was out of town, some Tiger basketball recruiting news. We have a couple of guys that committed while I was gone, one being Tyrese Hunter. That's the definite popular name coming from Texas. He started his career at Iowa State. And then Baraka Okoji from George Mason. I'll tell you my thoughts and also tell you a couple of targets on the way that could be committing here relatively soon, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The return show on a Wednesday. Beautiful. Thanks for joining in. Now, we do have to catch up on a little bit because I was out for a couple of massive commitments that came back-to-back for Tiger basketball. Already the things that had dropped when I left were P.J. Haggerty from Tulsa, Dane Danger from Illinois, and then, of course, Colby Rogers from I'm losing my mind, Wichita State. So that was already there. Nick Jourdain, Joe Cooper, Noah Stansberry were the guys that were holding over Jared Harris coming in from high school. Hopefully he can make a change or be a solid role player for this team as a four-star guard. But two of the guys they added when I was gone, I think are some of the most massive commitments they'll have this entire offseason. I'll start with Tyrese Hunter. Tyrese Hunter started his career at Iowa State. Everybody's heard about it at this point, 11 points per game when he was at Iowa State. The 2 years following, he ended up at Texas. And it's sort of mixed bag of returns when he was with Rodney Terry at Texas. But in the end of the day, he is still a very, very solid player. One thing that I do notice about Tyrese Hunter is I think it's important, and Connor, you always talk about this. It's important to look at how he's being talked about the from the fan base that he's leaving, and he's leaving that Texas fan base. We know that they're very critical of the players that come in and out of their football program and their basketball program, but they're not the biggest fans of Tyrese Hunter and the returns they've gotten the last 2 years from him. He definitely had a lot of promise after that first year, that freshman year at Iowa State, but it sort of tapered off. He did have his best three-point shooting year last year with Texas. He improved upon that. He's definitely a guy who can facilitate. But I think this is an interesting pickup, and the reason I say that, because it is a bigger name out there on the transfer portal. It's a bigger name, no doubt about it, and he is a high-usage guy. So you can view that in a positive light or a negative light depending on the situation. If this was last year and you were trying to find a lead guard, it would be phenomenal. He can use that same usage rate. He can get his teammates involved. He averaged around 4.1 assists per game. We know that he's very solid, 23% assist percentage when he's on ball. But considering all the other guys that could handle the ball and could get others involved, P.J. Haggerty, Colby Rogers, the other guy that I'll talk about, Barack Okogie, it's going to be interesting to see how that all fits together. Who's going to be on ball? Who's going to have more touches? That type of thing. I'm not poo-pooing the idea. I think it's a phenomenal get for the University of Memphis and for this program heading into next year to have a backcourt setup of Colby Rogers, P.J. Haggerty, and Tyrese Hunter. That sounds phenomenal on paper, but who's getting the touches? How are they setting up the offense? What does it look like? I still am going to have questions about that until I see it in action.
I think that's fair because he does have, you know, a relatively high turnover rate. He does lack size, but it's interesting when you look at his player profile and you just, you know, kind of look at his past. He is really good around the rim. He shot, you know, 55% plus from around the rim, so he can get to the rim, absorb contact. He's a really good playmaking defender, and yep. I think that's one of the reasons he was probably attractive to Penny Hardaway. He's got a good nose for the ball. He knows how to attack the pace. Texas last year, I think, was much better defensively when he was on the floor. They were 5 points per 100 possessions better on the defensive end with Hunter out there. His three-point shooting has gotten better every single season in college. So he's one of those guys that I do think has high upside, but the way that they use him in the lineup is going to be interesting to see because I do think he needs to be out there with the lead guard like he has been the past two seasons at Texas because he's able to do all of these things, but he's not necessarily a guard that can lead your offense.
But he's developed, and he's going to be a mercenary for this team.
Sure.
That's what he is. Now, the other guy that came in, Barack Okogie, that's not a mercenary. That's a guy who could stay around for a few years and develop. 6'3", 175 pounds from George Mason. You look at that program, they haven't been that great. And they weren't that great last year. But he's a guy who's got a lot of promise. I especially love what he does on the defensive end. He's really good at getting his teammates involved for the most part. But the one thing that you're going to have to see Penny and the staff work on with him is just trying to develop him into the player that he could potentially be. He's got decent length. He's very active on both ends of the floor. You just have to see that work out. And then on the offensive end, he's decent from the mid-range. He can get to the rim a little bit. He's got to develop a three-point ball if he wants to be a mainstay at this level. Shot 25% his first year at George Mason from three-point land. But obviously that's something that can develop. I'm just curious about his development. But I think when we talk about guys that could be, you know, secondary ball handlers off the bench, sort of what we thought Jalen Young would be coming into this year, this past season, I think this is about as good as you can do. This was a guy who was wanted by other folks, but Memphis ends up landing him, and I think this is a good fit. I think it's a good fit. I think both of these guys are good fits. I just have a little more question about Tyrese Hunter and the role he will play, especially if you have a guy like David Jones coming back. There'd be a lot of cooks in the kitchen on the offensive end in that particular situation.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Okogie. He's a young, tough, smart basketball player, and he's going to allow Memphis to be flexible on the defensive end and on the offensive end. It's just these two guys have fit into what we've been saying in this go-around in the transfer portal. It really seems like Penny Hardaway and his staff are making sure they identify players who can be plus guys on the defensive end, and they're also targeting three-point shooting or potential three-point shooting. I would also say the guards that they have right now, all of them are better playmakers, in my opinion, than Javon Quinterly were, so that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, and the other thing is I thought last year, as much as we had high hopes about Javon Quinterly and facilitating the offense and Jalen Young being sort of the backup secondary ball handler facilitating offense, one thing that's very clear about what Penny's done with P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, and Baraka Okogie, he's gone out of his way to find guys who can facilitate offense and can set it up and can keep those turnovers down to a certain extent. P.J. Haggerty, 3.8 assists per game. Tyrese Hunter, 4.1 assists per game. Baraka Okogie, 4.0 assists per game, or per 40 minutes, I should say. But all those guys have the ability to set offense and make you more comfortable on the offensive end. And I thought last year when Javon Quinterly, as much as he was inconsistent, he was very inconsistent game to game, he was the only guy who could really set his teammates up for success. David Jones was kind of a black hole when he caught the ball and tried to take it in.
He got better at the end of the season, but still high turnovers.
But in the end of the day, Javon Quinterly was the guy who had to set offense every time down the floor. I think these three guys, you sort of mix and match how you use them, who's setting it up, what type of sets you're running. I think these three guys, you have more than enough options of ball handling guards that can go make things happen for their teammates. That's the nice thing about having these type of guys in your backcourt.
Absolutely. I've also been enjoying that every single time I look up a scouting report about any of these guys, one of the first things I see is either hard-nosed or toughness.
Yes.
And that matters. That is going to matter. We talked last year, you have to have quote-unquote dogs on your team, and it certainly feels like Tyrese Hunter, P.J. Haggerty, Kobe Rogers, Dane Danger, Baraka Okogie, Jared Harrett, like these guys are dogs, or they're supposed to be. So I'm curious to see what this team looks like. I'm optimistic with the return so far in the transfer portal from Penny Hardaway. And if you can sprinkle in David Jones, looking pretty damn good.
Now, what's going to happen
still
with that?
50-50
I'm quite curious about that, because one of the things that sort of went through the dark of the night with all of the news we've been seeing is he's going to have to get in the transfer portal or make sure that he's coming back by May 1st, right? That's what David Jones has to make sure he does. Now, we'll see what he does with the NBA draft and what type of, intel he gets, if he stays in it, whatever. But I think I'm right there with you. You're about 50-50. I'm about 50-50 on David Jones coming back. But I do think what's very positive about this, I think some people have the opposite take of me on this. Some people will tell you that the set of pieces that Penny Hardaway has gotten are built to, supplement David Jones. I think this is being built with the thought process that if David comes back, we feel damn good. If he doesn't, we're still taken care of and we don't give a damn. Because I don't think you can be in your right mind if you're trying to go recruit around a guy that could be a 50-50 return. Now, I know Penny will probably be more positive. He said 70-30 is the season ended, or 60-40 that he will return to school. But I think that this roster, the one he's building, although he will need bigs, and I'll get to that in a second, the one he's building I think could be very good even without David Jones. If he does not return.
Absolutely. You want to build a team that can be highly successful with or without David Jones. With David Jones, the ceiling for this team absolutely rises. But even without him, I still think that this is a good starting position to have. You still have 5 scholarships open, so you can still make some noise in the transfer portal, go get some guys. So it's just, I believe it's a good start whether or not David Jones is there or not next season.
All right, now on to the bigs, because this is going to be the point of contention. Penny will need to add two or three more bigs.
Yes.
That's the truth of it. Right now, you're looking at Nick Jordan and Dane Danger. Dane Danger is very offensively inclined big, not necessarily great on the defensive end. Nick Jordan is, in an ideal world, probably reserve big, but if he starts, he started most of last year, you feel fine about what he can give you on both ends of the floor. He can stretch out to the three-point line, knock down a three. He's connected. He's a good connector on the defensive end. Like what you have there, but you're going to have to add more. And some of the names that have come up are interesting. I'll start with a guy that was committed to Kentucky until Cal left. He got out of his letter of intent, Jaden Quainton, 6'9", about 235 pounds. He's a 16-year-old. Now, when I look at his skill set, it is perfect for what Penny wants to do. I will say that much right this second. He runs the floor like a madman, very, very athletic, has a very tremendous build for a 16-year-old. He's going to grow into it. Now, the two things that will give me holdups with Jaden Quaintance is, one, there are reports, rumor mill, however you want to term it, that Arkansas and Kentucky are out of the Jaden Quaintance conversation because they do not want to pony up the funds to go get him through NIL. And the number that has been set is $2 million. That is a steep price. That's an incredibly steep price. And when you pair it with the fact that Jaden Quaintance is 16 years old, will probably need a solid year of development to get where he really needs to go, and maybe he's probably thinking one and done. He's a five-star recruit, after all. He might want to get to the NBA sooner rather than later. When you pair the price with the age and experience, I don't know if those two things add up perfectly when you're going after a guy like Jaden Quaintance. Now, would it be phenomenal to have him here? Absolutely. But I think that you need to have these conversations, weigh risk reward, decide what you think about him as a prospect, move forward from there. Because the price and the experience and the age don't necessarily add up exactly how I want them to add up at this particular moment.
There is no denying his ability and his talent. If he ends up at the University of Memphis, I will be happy about it. I do think, though, I have some hesitation because of what has happened the past few seasons at the University of Memphis. I am worried about having a player on this team in which you have to, quote-unquote, keep happy.
Correct.
And that's another part. Is the worry. We have said that we want to make sure you go into next season with as little drama as possible, with as little as promises as possible. You want this team to be together moving forward. Nobody is above anybody else. My only fear is that if somebody is making, let's say it is that price coming in, they are 17 years old, they are a potential one and done. That's just, there are a lot of variables there that you can't necessarily control. And I just think that you want as many controlled variables this season as you can possibly get. And you also have to have the discussion of, if he gets that amount of money, what does that mean you're leaving on the table?
Yes. How much do you have left to go spend? Right. How much do you have left to go get other transfer portal guys? Like if it was between David Jones and another guy, or Jaden Quaintance as is for that amount of money, you'd probably take David Jones and another
Absolutely.
Guy. That's how that would work. And I do think, like, as far as keeping him happy, when you look at the other pieces he's added, I don't think that would be the easiest thing in the world. P.J. Haggerty's a 20-point-per-game scorer. He's a high-usage guy. Colby Rogers, great player, 14 points per game, relatively high-usage guy. If David Jones comes back, we know how high-usage he is. Tyrese Hunter, very high-usage guy. I don't think Penny – I mean, you could talk about Precious Achiuwa, although he was playing out of position. He sort of had to be the center man for that particular team he was on. And I guess you could talk about Jalen Duren, although they didn't really feature him toward the back half
Duren
of the season.
Duren was also a grown-ass man.
I'll say this.
Jalen Duren is
– do you think
– We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Like, Penny's style doesn't necessarily highlight big men.
No, not as
so
much.
So, like, I don't know if that amount of money equals what you ultimately need. Now, if you say, hey, somebody ponies up $1.5 million and you're still going to be able to pony up more money for the transfer portal, fine. That's fine. You throw that all there and it could all work out perfectly. But if you're talking about what you have, there's a pool of money, you're taking a $1.5 million out of that pool of money just to get one guy, I think you're putting yourself in a relatively interesting situation.
The hesitation for me, it's just the NIL era of college sports worries me. Like I'm not sure I feel comfortable committing that much to a 17-year-old that I have zero assurances that he will be here past one season.
Yeah, and he's a 5-star recruit.
Right.
He's going to come with high expectations. How will he be used in a Penny Hardaway system as a big man with all these other pieces that he has added through the transfer portal that want touches, that want their points, that want to be able to show what they're able to do? So
And this has nothing to do with me thinking he's not going to be a great player. I think he's going to be a great player.
If he ended up at the University of Memphis, you feel great about it. You feel phenomenal.
You'd be happy.
He's a 5-star damn recruit, after all.
There are more questions about it that need to be discussed, I think, than some are pretending.
Yeah, and it's a decision. It's a risk reward conversation you need to have based on money and everything you have with your NIL.
And I'm
collecting.
Very staunchly on the side of, if this means no David Jones plus another, maybe even plus another guy, I would rather have David Jones than
others.
I think I'm there.
If those were the two choices. But there's no telling if those are the exact two choices behind the scenes.
We could the tea leaves.
We could sit here, read the tea leaves. We could, speculate.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly how much money they're pouring through that NIL fund right now to go get guys.
Now, the counter argument to this could be, you've already got the guys that could be here long term. Like, you have PJ Haggerty, you've got Okoji. These guys could be here more than one season. Take the swing. Because this is also the type of guy that could put you over the hump.
No.
If he comes in and he has a amazing freshman season, who knows?
Now, which brings me to my next point. Moussa Cisse, where you at?
Oh, God.
Where you at?
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Gabe, you didn't. I was not prepared for this.
Come on.
There needs to be a siren going off before you ask this type of question.
It would be three schools in 5 years, but it would be a second stop at Memphis. We know Memphis, Oklahoma State, Ole Miss. He's in the transfer portal, ready to go. Here's the one thing I'll say about him. I think he's perfect for Penny's system for the most part if he can catch the ball better than the first time around.
I was about to say, can he catch the damn ball? If he can catch the damn ball, sure.
Solid lob threat, good athleticism, good rim protection, good rebounder, runs the floor like a madman. He would be a mercenary, and he'd probably be on savings as compared to Jaden Quaintance in regards to your NIL collective and how much money you're throwing at these guys. So, I'm not going to poo-poo that thought. I know a lot of people think about loyalty and, he left after 1 year. I think you throw that out of the window with the era of college athletics we're in. If he can help your team for this 1 year, if he can be a solid starting big for you, if he can do the things you're asking of him, fit into your system, why not? Why not?
The only thing that worries me is he has gotten worse every season. That worries me. He had a really he had a pretty solid year in 21-22. The past two seasons, he has not been very good. And that is what worries me. I wouldn't be against it, but I'm not sure I'm for it. Does that make any sense?
I get what you're saying, and
I know that we're on radio and you don't want to be right down the middle, but I'm just like, if it comes down to you don't have any bigs and Moussa is still there, sure. I need a few more guys to say no.
Okay, how about this? If Jaden Quaintance is asking for $2 million,
if it's David Jones and Moussa I would do David Jones and Moussa.
Right?
But that has more to do with David Jones.
Yes.
Than it does Moussa.
Yeah, 100%. But I when it comes to fit and what Penny needs out of a big, I think Moussa fits the criteria. You have questions though. But I think they're fair about hopping school to school and never really maximizing what we thought he'd be as a 5-star recruit coming out of Los Angeles.
I would rather, of the potential returning former Tigers, I would prefer Lawson over Cisse. I think I would say that.
Well, the only thing is, at this point, Jonathan Lawson, where would he fit on this team? Oh, he'd be
he
a bench
play
guy.
A four.
He'd be a solid bench guy.
Yeah, he could run a four.
Yeah, not the strongest rebounder in the world.
He's got so much potential, though. That's with Lawson, I see potential. With Cisse, I'm not sure he's anything else than what he is now.
But at the same time, if he can do what he did last year with Ole Miss, I'm fine with that.
He sucked last year. I mean, he was bad last year.
What was it, 5 points per game? Five rebounds per game, few blocks. That's kind of what you need.
I'm conflicted. Gabe Kuhn.
It's really all you need with Penny in having a starting big. You need a guy who will set screens, do some dirty work, block shots, rebound the ball. And I think he can fit that.
Maybe.
They have some decisions.
I need more guys to say no.
Yes, and they need to. Need to widen their horizons in talking to someone.
Did you see what Mari Williams? Did you see the news?
Oh yeah,
stupid Mock Pope got him.
Yeah, Mock Pope. Also, Aaron Scott.
I know that one hurt.
By the way, how many times did that flip before it was over? North Texas wing Aaron Scott. We've been talking about him. It'd be a good get. They crystal balled him. I think Travis Brandon from 247 crystal balled him to Oklahoma because he has family connections there. Ends up committing to St. John's and Rick Pitino today.
That one hurt.
That recruitment took a bunch of flips. That was a bunch of 180 flips.
It's been over a bit for about a week now, it seems like, for Memphis. Momentum really got disappeared.
Yeah. It became Oklahoma or St. John's.
When he first came on the radar, other than P.J. Haggerty, I think he was my number one. I want that dude in a Tigers uniform.
Yeah, St. John's won the battle, though. They won the battle. It was a hard-fought one. Hard-fought battle.
Those stupid Kentucky guys took two guys from me.
Yeah.
Aaron Scott, Mari Williams.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're off to hour number two. So let's go ahead and grab hour number two. And we started, and I haven't talked to Jeff in a solid week. So
Betty asked you how the food was.
Yeah, well, we'll catch up with Jeff Calkins next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.